वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। मस्तप्राये स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 22 प्रीतम महाराज इज मीटिंग विथ द कुमारज टेक्स्ट नंबर 55। गोपिथाय जगत सृष्टे काले स्वे स्वे च्युतात्मकः मनोवाग्वृत्तिभिः सौम्यै गुणैः संरञ्जयन् प्रजाः। गोपिथाय जगत्सृष्टेः काले स्वे स्वे उच्युतात्मकः मनोवाग्वृत्तिभिः सौम्यै गुणैः संरञ्जयन् प्रजाः। गोपिथाय जगत्सृष्टेः काले स्वे स्वे उच्युतात्मकः मनोवाग्वृत्तिभिः सौम्यै गुणैः संरञ्जयन् प्रजाः। गोपिथाय जगत्सृष्टेः गोपिथाय
Hare Krishna. Whatever meaning and translation purport by His Divine Grace, is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Gopithaya. For the protection of Jagat Srishtehe, of the Supreme. Of the Supreme Creator, Kale, in due course of time, Sve, own, Achyutatmakaha, being Krishna conscious, Manaha, mind, Bak, words, Vrittivihi, by occupation, Samyai, very gently, Gunahi, by qualification, Samranjayan. He wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens. The Lord's creation must be protected. Intellects cannot understand the purpose behind the creation. Although this material world is condemned, anything around the Supreme Creator. A devotee, however, can understand the purpose of creation, which is to give facilities to the individual living entities who want to lord it over material nature. The ruler of this planet should therefore know that all the inhabitants, especially human beings, have come to this material world for sense enjoyment. It is therefore the duty of the ruler to satisfy them in their sense enjoyment as well as to elevate them to Krishna consciousness so that they all can ultimately return home back to Godhead. With this idea in mind, the king or government head should rule the world. In this way, everyone will be satisfied. How can this be accomplished? There are many examples like Prithu Maharaj, and the history of his regency on this planet is elaborately described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in this fallen age, if the rulers, governors, and presidents take advantage of Prithu Maharaj's example, there will certainly be a reign of peace and prosperity throughout the world. So we are in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from yesterday's verse, from the half of the yesterday's verse. Sarvesam lokapalanam dadharaikaha prithur gunan, up to the end of this chapter. Actually, Maitreya Muni, he is giving a narration to Vidura, reminding that these bandis who are praising Maharaj Prithu about different qualities, now you can see all these qualities have become manifest in Maharaj Prithu. So, as he was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Lord, that's how he was endowed with all godly qualities. What is this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? Sarvai gunastatra samasate sura. Jasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunastatra samasate sura. Harav bhaktasya kuta mahadguna manorathena sati dhavata bahi. So, because he was a perfect devotee of the Lord, that's why he was endowed with the demigod qualities. And what are these qualities? Just for small recap, we can discuss something like, they are speaking, oh, you are like sun god. Even though all these qualities are not manifest at that time, just like sun god sucks water from the water reservoirs and showers in form of rainfall during the need. So you are like that. You collect taxes from the citizens and you give them the facilities whenever it is necessary. And you are as strong as wind. You are fixed in your decisions just like Mount Meru. So all these qualities they were describing about Prithu Maharaj, but now from today onwards you will see consecutively how all these qualities have already now manifest in Maharaj Prithu. So in this verse he is saying that Gopithaya jagat srishtehe kale sveshvechutatmakaha mano bhag vrittihi samyair gunahi samranjayan praja. So Maharaj Prithu was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Sri Prabhupada, he writes in his purport, the rulers of this planet should therefore know that all the inhabitants, especially human beings, have come to this material world for sense enjoyment. It is therefore the duty of the ruler to satisfy them in their sense enjoyment. But Srila Prabhupada is not ending with this. He is saying, as well as elevate them to Krishna consciousness so that they all can ultimately return back home back to Godhead. So the point is, now modern inventions are aiming at creating unnecessary needs for sense enjoyment. They feel we can make some inventions, that's how we can create some compatibility to our lives. But what is happening? For example, nowadays there are many companies established around the world to prepare some fancy garments, right? Every day people are going to the supermarket and trying to search out where is the new fancy garment available. Okay, so what is happening? So they go, they buy these garments, then use for a few days, then again they look for something else, some new. So the point is, we can just wear a simple garment as long as we can cover our body. The necessity of putting a garment on the body is to make sure that your body is not exposed or you are protected from the cold, right? The aim for wearing clothes is not to attract people for sense enjoyment, because modern inventions are promoting sense gratification. That's why they are creating some inventions. They're coming out with new ideas how they can grab our attention and make business. The point is, if we just simply remain satisfied at whatever is necessary to protect ourselves, then we will not be fooled by the so-called materialistic inventions or provocations which are presented to us in our day-to-day lives. That's why Srila Prabhupada is saying that a king should rule the citizens. At the same time, he should provide the necessities for their sense enjoyment. It looks a bit contradictory. What it means? He says, okay, you need to survive. You need food, you need clothing, you need a good house to live in. Okay? You need a transport to go from one place to another. That means whatever is necessary. On those days, when you go to Vrindavan, people used to travel by tanga, right? Sometimes they used to walk also. But nowadays, you go, what happens? There are, you know, Mercedes cars. In India, there is a famous car now available. You know, people, they demand, okay, can I have that car? Then only I can come. So what is this? You just need a transport. So the point is, you can have all these facilities as long as you can be Krishna conscious. That's why Srila Prabhupada is saying that then to satisfy them in their sense enjoyment as well as to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. So the governors, the rulers of this world should not only think about providing material comfort to the citizens, but also make an attempt, make a serious attempt how they can be Krishna conscious. But we are forgetting the second part. No, we don't have to become Krishna conscious, but we can provide you sense enjoyment. Okay. So, this Pritu Maharaj, he was very sincerely guiding the subjects how they can attain the real goal of human life. Samyam, samyahi, gunahi. He had very wonderful qualities. What are these qualities? In his mind, he would mana vrittayah, hita chintanani. He would always think about the good of the citizens. The good of the citizens doesn't mean just provide them material facilities. At the same time, how they can be Krishna conscious. It is explained Bhagavatam. His words were pleasing, friendly, he was truthful. These qualities in him. Like Prithu Maharaj, he was a devotee of the Lord and he was endowed with all godly qualities. So that's how he could rule the citizens perfectly. So as a devotee of the Lord, should we try to gain these qualities like peaceful, tolerance and all whatever is explained in Bhagavad Gita? Or what should we do? Answer comes, yes, we should try for that. So, in 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in describing the knowledge, this is actually description of the knowledge, continuing. And these Kumaras, they are giving instruction, they have already given instruction to Prithu Maharaj about the knowledge. So, because he has the knowledge, now he can manifest these godly qualities. So, a devotee, when he has perfect knowledge, then he can also gradually be endowed with the qualities necessary to become a good devotee of the Lord. So the question is, should we try in our own way to be endowed with all these qualities, what is explained in the 13th chapter from 8 to 12, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Shantirar Jivamevacha, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Santyarjavam, Acharyopasanam, Saucham, Sthairyam, Atma Vinigraham, Indriyarthe, Subhairagyam, Anahankara Evacha, then Ramamitya Jarabhyadhi, Dukkhadosanadarsanam, then Asakti, Anabhishvanga, Patradara, Grihadishu, no. Nityanta samachittattam nishta ishta nishto papattisu. Anyway, mai chananya yogena bhakti rabhya vicharini. So in this series of verses, there are 5 verses, it gives the description about 20 qualities which helps us to be situated in the platform of knowledge. Okay. And Srila Prabhupada, he says, not only Prabhupada, there are other acharyas also, they explain these 20 qualities. They say first 18 qualities are there in the devotees, and out of these first 18 qualities, especially one quality is with the devotees but not with the jnanis. First 18 qualities are with the devotees and with the jnanis, but exclusively one quality, that is with the devotees, not with the jnanis. And the last two are only with the jnanis. Devotees are not worried about those. That's why when he was giving a lecture on those series of verses, he's concerned these 18 qualities. These 18 qualities. So the last two qualities, he says, Adhyatma Jnanamitvattam Tattva Jnanartha Darsanam. Adhyatma Jnanamitvattam. Why these last two qualities are not pertaining to the devotees? Because they are not very much interested to cultivate this knowledge only, how we can understand the soul in this body. Even though that is the subject matter of discussion, but they don't and always think about this. Adhyatma jnanam ityattam, not always. Devotees have no time to think about this knowledge. Devotees have more time, they would be happy to be engaged in service of the Supreme Lord. That is why they don't pay much attention into such kind of philosophical discussion. Tattva adhyatma jnana vityattam tattva jnanartha darsanam. This jnana is who are endeavoring to merge themselves in the existence of the Brahman, and they always discuss about all these tattva darsan, all these philosophical conclusions. But devotees, they don't pay so much attention to it. So what is the main quality which devotees have? not these jnanis, yogis. That is, maicha nanya yogena bhaktir abhyavicharini. This is very important quality. Just like while describing about the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, it is said that if a Vaishnava has only one quality, rest of the qualities will automatically become manifest in him. What is that one quality? Krishnaika Saran. If he has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, that's it. This jnana is, they perform severe austerities and penances to control their senses, to calm their mind. So many ways they try, but they forget about this center point, that Krishnaika Saran. Just by surrendering under the lotus feet of Krishna, all other qualities will automatically become manifest. So similarly, on this section, Srila Prabhupada is giving his commentary. I wanted to read it out, the lecture from Prabhupada. Mai cha ananya yogena, mai cha ananya yogena bhaktir abhyavicharini. Out of the 18 different descriptions of the process of knowledge, see, Prabhupada is, he is giving us devotional service. He always wants to speak about devotion. That's why he is not considering the last two qualities. Forget it. These two qualities are important to the devotees. Okay. The central point is maicha. If you simply try to become elevated in knowledge without devotion to Krishna, that will not do. Therefore, Krishna says, maicha, ananya yogena, means without any deviation, abhyavicharini, means without any disturbance. Very important point. Ananya yogena, without any deviation. Even if there is some provocating situation, still, ananya yogena, abhyavicharini, without any disturbance. This material nature is always afflicting us in different ways, and also our senses are always open to the sensual objects. But he says, abhyavicharini bhakti, which is pure devotion, without any disturbance. Devotional service is not sentiment. After describing so many stages of advancement of knowledge, Krishna says, mai cha ananya yogena bhaktir abhyavicharini. Yoga means linking up, always linking up with Krishna, mai. Krishna says, mai, unto me, Krishna. So, you can become attached to Krishna if you are devoid, if you are docked in his service, not casually, but constantly. Abhyavicharini means without a break. See, from different angles, he is explaining this word, abhyavicharini bhakti. Always, constantly. In another place, Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto mam, always glorifying me. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. We always have to glorify Krishna. Samai cha nanya yogena means if somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, then all these qualities will become manifest in him automatically, ananya yogena. So then, you know, devotee thinks, oh, still I am trying, I am in the moment for so many years, and still sometimes I find it is difficult to understand how Krishna is so great and I can become his devotees. Sometimes my mind is going here and there. So what to do? How can we become the devotee of Krishna? For us, the central point is how we can become the unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna, so that our mind will not become deviated to other things. So one devotee, he says that whenever there is a disturbance in the mind, you should try to remember the prayers, the spiritual requests by our acharyas. We can go to the deities and we can sincerely submit ourselves at the lotus feet of the Lord by sincerely remembering their prayers. It's a very good way. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, what is that? He says, Kabe habe bala se dina ma Kabe habe bala se dina ma Suddha name ruchi aparadha ghuchi शुद्ध नामे रुचि कृपा बले हावे हृदय संचार त्रिनाधिकाहीन कबे निजे मानी सहिष्णुता गुण हृदय ते सकले मानद आपने अमानी हवे आस्वादिव नम रससा कबे हवे बोल से दिन अमार He is going to the Lord, this devotee is going to the Lord, and he is telling, he is giving, he is making, he is sending his spiritual request to the Lord. Oh my dear Lord, you tell me when the day will come for me. Aparadhaguchi suddha nameruchi kripa vale have hridaye sanchar. By your divine grace, this will be infused in my heart, your grace will be infused in my heart, so that I will have taste for releasing the holy name and aparadhaguchi. At that time, I will have no offense to the devotees and also to the holy name while chanting. Then he says, apone omani, sakale manado apone omani. Means, I will be always giving respect to others without demanding any respect from myself. So this is a very important thing. Like in this verse, this five set of verses, amanitvam, this first quality comes. So Prabhupada explains, amanitvam means, one explanation is without desiring for any honor, right? That is amani, means humility, becoming humble. How can one become humble? One who doesn't desire any honor for himself, he is humble. Okay. So how can, in which stage, one can become like that? That he will not deserve any honor for him. He says, as long as we are in the bodily concept of life, we think I am this body, then we will fail to come to that position where you will not demand any respect. That means, in two ways we can understand it. Okay, sometimes people do not respect us, we become upset. Why he doesn't, you know, respect me? Okay, when this lamp is coming out of the deity's altar, some devotees think like that actually. You know, this lamp is coming out of the altar, okay, there is no sannyasi in this place. So I am the, you know, temple president, I am, you know, senior most member of the society. How come this devotee, he doesn't know how to respect these seniors? He should bring the lamp to me first, then, you know, bringing the lamps to others. Right? Oh, he's thinking like that, because I am temple president. I am head of such and such. So, that means it confirms that he is not free from the identification of this body, I am this body. Because I have this nice body, I am doing so many things with this body, that's why I deserve respect. You know, apani amani, sakale manada. I will be giving respect to him. How can it be possible So sometimes we go to the Lord. We pray to the Lord. Tuya bhakti pratikul je je karya. Whatever the activities which are putting an hindrance on my path for the execution of the unalloyed pure devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, I want to give it up. What happens? We know, we discuss it in class, in philosophy, we have read those several times. But what happens when it comes to application, we fail to apply it. That is why devotee says that sometimes we can go to the Lord and with a pure desire in our heart, and we can pray to the Lord by remembering the prayers of the acharyas. Why did the acharyas narrate all these prayers for us? Actually, if you see, when does an acharya writes these prayers or these songs? They write those songs towards the last part of their life, actually. Mostly they write those prayers, those songs. How? Because they are totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They have internalized it, and now they can see so many things around happening, and out of being compassionate to the suffering souls, they write all these songs. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, oh, my senses are bugging me all the time, I have failed to recognize you, my dear Lord, is it so to him? No. He has understood that how all these living entities are suffering. That's why he is giving. There are some other devotees also, they recognize it from the core of their heart, how helpless I am. Sincerely, they pray to the Lord. So in that way, these acharyas, when they come to the perfect stage in their spiritual life, they draw the conclusion of the Shastra and they put it into writing that come out through their realization. This is like, you can say, like a magnifying glass. Like, there is normal sun ray coming. When you reflect the normal sun ray on a magnifying glass, it holds the power of burning some objects. So similarly, these narrations are there in the Shastra, and we also know it, we read it, when it is reflected by the experience, by the realization of the acharyas, and they put it into writing in form of the songs, it acts as a magnifying glass. That means, again, when you touch this, you can immediately catch fire. That will help us to purify, actually. And this is why, they write it in the realized state of their consciousness. They have understood. Then they are putting it into writing. That's why when you read it, it will directly appeal to you because it is being magnified now. Srila Prabhupada says, just like there are medical books available in the market, right? So somebody can go and buy the books and read it, then he become a medical practitioner. So what is the use of going to the medical school, medical college? That's why it's acharya upasanam. Worshipping a bona fide spiritual is must. Spiritual master is must. Why? Because when we read these medical books without going to the school, he says, you can become just like a quack. Quack means just no blessed medical practitioner. But you will not be given with the degree by the government where you can go and claim yourself, you are a bona fide doctor. Right? So similarly, if you want to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord, then you should follow this parampara. Now, what is given to us by the acharyas, how they have realized it, how they have internalized it into their lives, and that is how at the end of the life, it is coming out. When And at the end of, towards the end of his life, Bhakti Siddhanta Sahitabhi says, Nasi Rupa Manjari Pada Sei Mara Sampada Sei Mara Bhajana Pujana Sei Mara. Anyway, when he says Sirupa Manjari Pada Sei Mara Sampada, he understands, I have got no other shelter other than the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. He is thinking, he is, you know, praying to him like that, because he is now at the end of his life, he's preparing his way now. So he is thinking like that. So when we read that again, that potency is there. Just like when we read Prabhupada's purport, what happens? Sometimes directly touching to our heart, because that potency is there. Prabhupada has invested his potency. So that is why, without putting any extraneous effort, how we can gain those qualities, we should simply try to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, and whatever is necessary to achieve that, we should do. Okay? Thank you very much. So, whatever we discussed, does anybody have any comment or question? No. Okay. Oh yes, Mataji.
Thank you for the class. But I'm sorry, I didn't understand at the beginning. You mentioned that the qualities come from our capacity to understand, but then you mentioned about the qualities bring understanding. So I didn't understand this properly.
The process of knowledge, the process of the cultivation of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. That means the same thing again. When we simply try to become the devotee of the Lord, then automatically all other qualities will start to manifest. That's the only point I was trying to make. It is very clear. Without trying to become the devotee of the Lord, if we put our personal endeavor to gain other qualities, without putting much effort to become the devotee of the Lord, then it has got no use. That was the point I was making. Okay. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. I would like to ask that you spoke that the acharyas realized platform of their spiritual life, they are praying like if they are the fallen souls. And I heard in one class that somebody asked if they are feeling like that or if they are telling only for us. And the answer was that they really feel like that. So,
yes.
Could you comment more?
Definitely. They definitely feel that they are like that, but at the same time, we should not see it like that. You know, for example, if like what happened is Madhavendra Puri, right? When he is saying, "Oh my dear Lord, I do not have any devotion for you," actually he is, you know, from within he is definitely feeling like that. But is it so? No. And this is Ramchandra Puri, right? Huh? What is, who is that? Ramchandra Maharaj, this Ishwar Puri or?
Disciple.
Yeah. Then he was going, "Oh my spiritual master, why are you hankering like this? You should be thinking about Brahman. You are, you know, self-realized soul." So he said, get lost man from here. What are you instructing me? The point is, even the acharyas, they feel sincerely from within, we should not see it like that. We should understand, it is coming from their heart. Actually, Lord is using them as an instrument. If they do not sincerely feel like that from within and present such kind of thoughts for us, then what is the way for us? That is why, definitely, they sincerely feel, there is no doubt about it. But when we see that, we should understand, see how Lord is using him as an instrument to give us a lesson. For example, if you see some acharyas, their body is affected. You know, what do you understand? Oh, then this acharya is praying to the Lord, he is saying, oh my dear Lord, because of my previous karma, I am suffering. He is just citing some prayers from the Shastras. That's okay for him. But what is the lesson for us? How do you see him in that situation? We can see, Lord is so merciful for us, upon us. And just to shower the blessing upon us, and he is making his own devotee, dear devotees, suffer in front of us so that we foolish people can take a lesson how we should be serving him. This pure devotee, he is, in spite of having so many physical inconveniences, how he is so happily performing his devotional service to the Lord. That means we should take a lesson now. Wake up. This is a wake-up call for the disciples. Spiritual master may be praying like that. Can you understand? Same incidents can be seen from the perspective of the spiritual master or guru or the elevated devotees, and the same thing can be judged by the subordinate devotees, disciples, general people. The point is how we try to see the subject that will help us purify our consciousness or that will help us to elevate in Krishna consciousness. Did we get some food? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you, very nice class. One point you said in Prithu Maharaj, Prabhupada was telling, and you said nicely, Prithu Maharaj was facilitating the citizens with sense gratifications,
yeah,
and at the same time elevating them towards the final goal, a supreme goal. But we can see that Prithu Maharaj can do it, he's a dedicated and a pure devotee of the Lord.
Mm.
But how do we understand in today's life where devotees like me, we are practicing, but we are not yet there. So how do we understand that, facilitate the Lord, at the same time elevate? How do we get examples, please?
In my understanding, I would say, devotee should always focus in one point. That is how I can apply myself in the service of the Lord, without considering any other externals. For general devotee I am talking about. If you talk about management, managers, that's a different. Just first I am talking about general devotees. Why? You see, what quality do we have? Or what are the amenities we have with us to stop the disturbances which are coming to us, or to create a nice situation where I can be happy. If we try by ourselves, we can hardly do anything about it. Just like whether you want or don't want, distress is going to come. Whether you want or don't want, still happiness is going to come. If you have understood this, so in any circumstance, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, sometimes we blame other devotees. He said, why did he do this to me? That is why I cannot do this service. No. We should always focus on how I can be engaged in the service of the Lord, without trying to find fault in others, without trying to criticize others, without trying to make myself, make some adjustment. How, if my life would be adjusted like this, then I can, very small example. Some devotees, they join in ISKCON Mayapur. They felt like it is too much. I should go to the West, I earn big money, then I can be nicely, you know, established and I can be Krishna conscious. Some of them, after going to the West, they didn't come back to India because they felt like, I can take this green card, then I can be happy, so they established there. And not only then, when it comes to giving birth to the baby, if they are in India, they are going to the West, in US, because if my baby is born there, can you imagine? If my baby is born there, automatically he is a citizen of, you know, such and such country, then, you know, I am free from the anxiety. What anxiety are you free from? Okay, so they are thinking, some of them, they came back, they establish the houses. What happened? They don't come to the Mangala Arati. They don't come to the Bhagavatam class. So they were trying in their way how I can adjust my surroundings, but they failed. It was a failure to them. It's a kind of a practical example we can see. Okay. So that is why for us, we should understand this is called Dukkhalayam. Dukkhalayam means this is a place of misery. Alay means the house, like a Oshadhalay, Bhojanalay. You go there is only bhojan, there is only food. You go there is only medicine, bhojan, Oshadhalay, Dukkhalay. You come here means this place is filled with miseries. So you don't have to think that whether misery will come or not come, happiness is there or not. Our consciousness would be always how I can just simply serve the Lord. And it's practical actually. Always our mind, our senses, forget about others. Our mind and senses are always putting us in critical situations actually. Okay, so then we should not think anything else. Just simply focus on whatever service I have. I know Krishna is supreme. There is nobody beyond Him. I am supposed to serve Him. I want to serve Him. This idea should concentrate in us. Then in case of the leaders, should have some sort of discriminations. Because they need to engage everybody in Krishna service. That is why they have to follow the instruction of their superiors, how they are being instructed by the superior authorities to rule the, you know, place, to govern the, you know, management, managerial principles, whatever it may be. So in their case, there will be a different consideration. They can distinguish who to chastise, how much we should chastise, whether he deserves punishment or not. And if there is something happening in the higher level, we should not interfere. We should simply focus on service. Sometimes, many times we actually overlap. We just know, this is our level, we try to come to this level and, you know, think, relate to certain situations that we should not do. If we are here, we should be here. Slowly. Okay? Thank you, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, Prabhuji, everybody can go, you can... Yeah, we can discuss. Now, 9 o'clock, if somebody wants to leave, can leave. Okay, thank you. So Prabhupada, he says, I have heard from senior devotees that if you do not become a pure devotee of the Lord and if you don't come to Krishna,